Living alone presents many different challenges, emotional and spiritual challenges in our lives. And I'd like for us this morning to think about God's desires and His will for those people who live alone. Sometimes we present lessons about marriage and family, and yet there are those of our own number here, some of you, who do not have a mate. And it may be because your mate has died and you have lost them tragically, and you are living alone. And this is a challenge that is a part of life. And as we think about that, what we want to see is that God's Word is an instruction book for our lives, and that it deals with every stage of life and every circumstances of life that we encounter. And so whether we face struggles or heartaches and losses of loved ones, the Scripture is there to help us and give us comfort and guidance, and to assure us that God has not forgotten any of us, that God cares for us. He is a part of our lives. And it is sad when we go to the nursing homes, for example, as sometimes we visit with Lydia Gummerman and others, and we recognize and realize the fact that there are people living in the older years of their lives sometimes who are very much alone. And they don't have family. They've lost their mate. And they are now in the declining years of their life. And our heart goes out to those individuals. And sometimes it happens at a younger time in life, and it is a very difficult time to go through in life. I want us to address that today from the biblical point of view, for the purpose to show that God gives us a lot of comfort in this area, and things that can help us realize that God cares about each one of us. He is here for us to help us in these times of our life. As we think about our own society today, there are about 44% who are unmarried for one reason or another in America today. And that's about 102 million people. And that's a lot of people who are living alone in one reason or another. Surveys have determined that one of the most lonely groups, though, are college students. I was surprised when I read that statistic, but there are many others that we can understand: divorced people, those who are elderly, single mothers, and there are those who live out alone in different areas where they just don't have any family. They don't have any friends there with them. So it is a widespread problem in our world today. And it has been said that one in four people in our world today are living alone. And as many as 93% confess having feelings of loneliness at one time or another, because the fact of the matter is that even if we live with another person in the same house, it doesn't always mean that we aren't feeling some kinds of loneliness. There is even a person who's not alone, sometimes loneliness is a different thing sometimes than just the fact of living alone. And it's very, very painful. It's a difficult thing to deal with, and God recognizes that from the very beginning of Scripture. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, God said Himself in the beginning, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And we understand that living without a spouse, living without a husband or wife, is one of the most difficult things in life that a person can go through. It's a very painful thing, and it can confuse us because into thinking that you are a loser or you are an outcast, that no one loves you, that you are all alone, that you have no friends, you have no one there for you. And that's not true. God assures us of His nearness. And in our reading today in Psalm 139 in verse 5 is one of the best passages that I know of that assures us that God is close to us in life. He said, "Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid Your hand upon me." Isn't it a wonderful thing that God is so close to each one of us? That we aren't alone in life. God assures us of that fact. I would like for us to pray for just a moment and thank Him for that. Our Father, we thank You so much, Father, that no matter who we are, no matter where we are, that You are with us and that Your hand surrounds us. You know each one of us, everything about us, from before the time we were even born. And Father, we're so thankful for Your loving care and Your presence in our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Loneliness does make us feel very sad and empty. It causes us to feel that we are cut off from other people, that we need companionship. And it causes oftentimes feelings of anxiety in our lives, that we don't have family, we need family, we need someone to connect with more in our lives, and they're not there. It can cause emotional problems, it can cause physical problems, loneliness can, in people's lives. Because we all need, we need a soulmate, we need someone to share life with us. Someone who can share our joys and sorrows and our responsibilities and help us make decisions that we are facing in life. And it is more than just living in the same house with another person. We need, as God designed marriage in the very beginning, that they would become one, husband and wife, that they share, they communicate, they are there for each other. We all need that in life. We need friends, we need those that are close to us that can be there to help us. But what I want to assure us all this morning is that God is there in our lives. He is near to us. You know, there are several people in the Bible that we read about who were very lonely. They lived very lonely lives. And yet, God was there for them in their life. I find that very encouraging. And one of those in the Old Testament is Joseph. The story of Joseph has always been very uplifting and encouraging to me. Because Joseph was the son of Jacob, and that he had, there were 12 sons in the family of Jacob. But at a young age, Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery in Egypt. Probably maybe about the age of 17 years old. Some Bible scholars estimate that Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery in Egypt by his own brothers. And when he arrived in Egypt, he became the slave of Potiphar. And of course, Potiphar's wife, his master's wife, tried to seduce him. And when he refused her advances, she accused him falsely, and he was sent to prison. And as a result of that, he spent many years in prison, alone, without family, without friends. He could easily feel abandoned by everyone. But here's what the Bible says about Joseph. In Genesis chapter 39, it said, "But the Lord was with him, was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the Egyptians," or in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So whatever Joseph endured, the Lord was with him, protected him, and provided for him. In many ways, even if his family had abandoned him and his family was miles away back in the land of Canaan, Joseph was able to endure the hardships and keep his faith because he knew the Lord was with him. And this made a huge difference in his life. And he arose from that and became the governor of the land of Egypt, and eventually brought his family back together and forgave them. And there's a happy ending to that story. But it was because he had faith in God and he knew that he was not alone. But then there was Jesus. Jesus, think about how much of his life he was spent alone and how lonely he was in many ways and could have been, because he did not have a wife and children. And he gave his life completely to the mission of coming down from heaven to save people from sin. Now, Jesus had people all around him. And he chose his 12 disciples and he trained them. And he, you know, they accompanied him for 3 years. So he was not alone in that sense. He had friends that he spent much of his life with. And he often stayed in the home of friends like Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And wherever Jesus went, for much of his life, multitudes followed him. But in spite of that, Jesus faced many of the tests of his being here on earth. He faced it alone. He went into the wilderness, and Satan, he was tested alone. He went into the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed alone while his disciples were sleeping. And one of the disciples, Judas, betrayed him, and Peter denied him 3 times. And when he was arrested, the other disciples scattered and left him. When Jesus went to the cross, he found strength there in his relationship with his Father in heaven. And Jesus himself said in John 16, the night before his death, he said, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yet has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." So he found strength in his relationship with his Father. And so can you and I. That is the encouraging thing for us to understand about loneliness. Peter, in writing in 1 Peter, talks about this relationship. And in Hebrews chapter 5, when it speaks about Jesus praying in the garden and the struggles that he went through, it said that in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who's able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. And I believe this is referring in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was praying, that we sometimes wonder if he was all alone, if God had forsaken him, and he did cry out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But that passage in itself to me is an interesting one, because in Psalm 22, when Jesus uttered these words on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It is a very messianic psalm. In other words, this psalm speaks about the coming of Christ in many ways. In fact, it's amazing. Some of the predictions, the accuracy. It says in Psalm 22 and verse 7 that many of them would wag the head at him, meaning mocking him. And the piercing of his hands and feet is referred to in verse 16. The dividing of his garments in verse 18. But in verse 27, Psalm 22 and verse 27, is this wonderful closing to the psalm that said, "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you." So could it be that the point of Psalm 22 and Jesus quoting from this on the cross was to reassure himself that his death was not in vain? That when he was dying there on the cross, though it seemed that God had forsaken him, in reality the will of the Father, the plan of God was being fulfilled. And all nations would be able to be saved and come to worship God because of what he was going through. So that strengthened him. The assurance that God was with him and that he had a purpose for what he was doing. He was alone in many ways, and yet he kept trusting God. He put his faith in God. And 1 Peter chapter 2 says this. It says, "When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." You see that God, Jesus, when he was on the cross, he committed himself to God. He asked God for his help and his strength in that time. And then in 1 Peter 4:19, Peter, in saying that we need to do the same thing. When we are going through loneliness, when we are persecutions, when our faith is being put to the test, "Therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator." In other words, we respond the way Jesus responded. We put our trust in God, knowing that God is a faithful creator. He will not abandon us in those times. The Apostle Paul also went through loneliness much of his life. We often forget the fact that the Apostle Paul was not a married man. He did not have a wife and a family. Although there are some scholars who contend that he may have been married at some time. Some think he was maybe on the Sanhedrin Council, one of the leaders of the Jews at that time. But there's no real proof of that. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 8, Paul himself says, he says, "But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am." What does he mean by this? That he's single. He does not have a wife. He compares it with Peter, who did have a wife, who sometimes took her with him when he was traveling. Paul was single. And yet, he was able to face these trials of his life just as Jesus, just as Joseph, because he knew that God was with him in those times. And in writing the Philippian letter, think about Paul was in prison. In fact, Paul said that he was in prison five times in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul spent about 5 years of his life in prison. And yet, when he wrote the book of Philippians from the prison in Rome, he said, "I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I have learned to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I realize he's speaking in that context mostly about the financial circumstances, but it applies, I believe, to other areas that in his life, Paul had learned that he could do all things through Christ. He was alone, he was in prison, but the Lord was with him. When he's writing in 2 Timothy, he talks about being in prison there and his defense before Caesar. At the first defense, he said, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me from his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory and forever and ever. Amen." We find then that the Lord was with Paul. He did not abandon him. Even though his friends had abandoned him, Paul knew the Lord was faithful and was there with him. Now, we consider the promises of God. I think we should all be reassured and encouraged by many of the promises of God in this area of how God is with us. He will not leave us alone. In Psalm 68, he's a father of the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Some translations say, in effect, it is saying that the only person that God, that is truly alone and lives a solitary life, is the rebellious person. God gives so many opportunities for us to, even though we may be alone in some ways, that He is with us and that there are other ways that we can have friends. He's provided the church. He's provided others that we can reach out to if we will take the initiative, that we don't have to live alone. We can have friendship. We can have companionship. Even though it may not be, we may have lose a loved one. We may lose a husband or wife. But we can still find answers and help in the area of this problem of loneliness. In John 14 and verse 23, Jesus gave this promise that he said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." What a wonderful promise that is. And in the Old Testament, God, when Joshua was to become the leader, Moses was no longer going to be there. They were coming into the land of Canaan. He said, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." And that same promise is quoted in the book of Hebrews and applied to all of us. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." In the Great Commission, Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." He's promised us in so many ways that God is not going to abandon us. He will be there with us. He's intimately a part of our life. In Psalm 37 and verse 25, "I have been young," David said, "and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread." This encourages us if we are struggling financially and worried about the outcome of things. God is with his people. And in Psalm 27, David said, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." When no one else was there for David, God was there for him. And he understood that. God spoke about the people of Israel, his love for them, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. He said, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." What it's saying is that God continually thinks of us, his children. He thinks about our physical welfare, our spiritual needs, our emotional needs. And Jesus assured us about praying to go into your closet, he said, because your heavenly Father knows what you need, said, before you even ask him. And here was this wonderful passage that we read at the beginning, Psalm 139, where David talks about this principle that God is there wherever we go in life. He knows our down sitting, our rising up. He knows everything, what is on our tongue, what we're thinking, our every thought, and he provides for every need. So we cannot go outside the presence of God, even if we attempt to do so. He's there. How does this help us, you say? Because any of us can say the same thing. We can say, I feel so alone. But if we understand, we can know the Lord is with me. I am not alone. And we can say, like the Apostle Paul, "Your grace is sufficient for me." And through that, we can find the strength that we need. A little bit later in Psalm 139, verse 13, he goes on to say, said, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your words, your works, and that my soul knows right well." There's no one who knows you or me more intimately than God, because he has been watching over you every day of your life, from before you were even born, providing for your needs. Several years ago, back in the 1970s, there was a well-known atheist, some of you remember, Madeline Murray O'Hare. And she was very outspoken, and she went to the Supreme Court to take prayer out of the schools. And to some degree, she won some of those lawsuits. But she wrote a diary, kept a personal diary back in 1977. And she clearly talked in that about something was missing in her life. She spoke about herself. She says, I'm a failure as a wife, as a mother, and as a politician. And there was over six different times in her diary that she made the statement, "Somewhere, someone loved me." She pleaded for that. She was very alone, in other words, in her life. And there's so many people like that out in our society today. Remember the Beatles song, "All the Lonely People. Can you hear the lonely voices crying out? Where do they all come from? All the lonely people." And Hank Williams, he had the song, it was called, "I'm So Lonesome I Could Die." It's talked about a lot in the Psalms, if you pay attention, how much loneliness there is out in the world. Book of Revelation, Ted mentioned the letters to the churches. The fact that some of them started out very much close to the Lord, and then they became cold in their faith. And the church in Laodicea was said to be lukewarm. But Jesus, in Revelation 20, chapter 3 and verse 20, He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." You see that? The Lord wanted to restore the type of warm friendship and fellowship that He once had with that church. He wants that with you and me. He wants to be close to us. And He assures us that He is there in our lives. He wants to have a close, loving, and a peaceful relationship with the Lord daily, that we would never feel left alone. So it's to each one of us to draw close to God, to make Him part of our lives every day. And it begins by becoming a Christian, by placing our trust and our faith in Him, turning away from sin in our life, and confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, and being baptized into Christ. As Paul writes in the Roman letter in chapter 6 and verses 3 through 7, he says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." He invites us to come to Him, that we can have our sins washed away through the blood of Christ and become a Christian and have this close relationship with God, so that whatever comes in life, whatever struggles we face in life, we can know that we will never be alone, because the Lord is there with us. We're going to stand and sing the song of invitation today that's been selected. We hope that there is one today who is here that will need to respond or desire to come to the Lord this morning in obedience to the gospel, to receive this blessing, to be able to have the assurance of the forgiveness of sins that comes with Christ. And so we're going to invite you to come today as we stand together and sing the invitation song. We hope that you will come.
Number 29. 129.